getting started today on Center Stage Minnesota. One of John Gorka's label mates at Red House Records, Lucy Kaplansky.
Sadness is a little boy looking out the window high above a city, counting statues of people on the buildings, thinking that the people are forever. He wants his father to be a statue on the rooftop of his fatherless home, so that he can always see him, so that he will never leave him. Late at night in the darkness of his dreaming, his father's words fall down in a rainstorm, and the words become hands that will guide him through his life in the world just beginning. You cannot live in bronze or stone. Your life in flesh and bone. Stranded is a man no longer searching for the life he had hoped for and imagined, courting fear instead of a woman, holding sorrow as his own. Counting days like his money in the markets, watching life from the window in his office. Maybe one day I'll have the courage. Maybe one day I'll sail across the ocean. But I feel safe in the light of my computer. This is how I choose to live. Fixed in stone, a man will wither. Running waters are the life of a river. You cannot live in bronze or stone. Life in flesh and bone. Remember me. Frightened is an old man through the park on a dark December day. He stands frozen at the base of a statue, and he hopes for a warm hand to help him. Tonight he will dream that he is flying over banks of a river. He remembers his father's voice will echo all around him. His father's hands will hold him in the sky. Now I can sail across the ocean. Now I will sail across the ocean. Now I'm sailing across the ocean. I cannot live in bronze or stone. I must live as flesh and bone.
Thank you. perch atop a calm wind. Dig me a hole by the pasture of mind. Build us a fire and a pen. Give us light now. Give us light. Walked all the way from the cross. Missed his train, but he picked up a little dog. He finally sat down at the bank's old man. Snow was falling, we could see the cold coming in the air. Coming in the air, man. Hang the lines in the trees about there. Stretch our top from the corner in the air. Dig me a hole by the pasture, never mind. Build us a fire and a pail. Give us light now. Give us light. Around his face like a shawl. Made it down the rails with his dog. Touched the kids for some cash. Fished his dinner from the trash, man. The trash. From the trash. Hang the lines in the trees about there. Stretch our top from the corner of the air now. Dig me a hole by the pasture, never mind. Build us a fire and a pail. Give us light now. Give us light. Camp about 3 a.m. Stared the fire down with some friends. Shared around the little bit they had. Slept off the hay throughout the day. His head, his duffel bag, man. Hang the lines in the trees about there. Stretch our top from the corner in the air now. Dig me a hole by the pasture, never mind. Build us a fire and a pail. Give us a light now. Give us light. By on a different plane. We all lived in the very same place. He woke up, it was the same day. And he built up his fire and sat down to wait. Just like today. Just like today. Hang the lines in the trees about there now. Stretch our top from the corner in the air now. Dig me a hole by the pasture, never mind. Build us a fire and a pail. Give us a light now. Give us light. Give us light.
Two there from Charlie Parr. Just Like Today from his Cheap Wine release. And I Dreamed I Saw Jesse James Last Night. That one comes from his When the Devil Goes Blind release. Lucy Kaplansky started us off on Center Stage Minnesota today. Still Life from her Flesh and Bone release on Red House Records label. This is Center Stage Minnesota, our show that focuses on the talents of Minnesota musicians. I'm Charlie Polkerbeck. I'm your host for this edition of Center Stage Minnesota. Going to hear one here from John Gorka and then hear that interview shortly from his Land of the Bottom Line release. That actually wasn't put out on Red Horse Records. It was on Windham Hill. I think he started there, went away, and came back. Anyway, this one is called Italian Girls.
married and gained some weight, but that weight I appreciate, for it's the work of all those meals, and what you eat is what you feel. For the Italian girls, the Italian girls, they made my world. I used to fall for Italian girls, they filled my dreams, they made my world. But passion dies and fades away, or lives to fight another day.
John Gorka there from Land of the Bottom Line. And that's an older release, 1990 going back, although he's been putting out music much longer than that. That one was called Italian Girls. John Gorka is one of those guys that's been around a long time, whether you want to call him folk or acoustic singer or songwriter. He started out on the East Coast and eventually made his way into Minnesota. And he's put out a lot of records on Red House Records label, as a few others. And he joined me last week for a little conversation. I began by asking John Gorka, after his brother Cass taught him how to play his first chords and he began working on his own songs, what caused him to be motivated to create his own work so early in life?
It's kind of a combination of what I can articulate with the lyrics and express what I can't find words for in the music and the sound.
To this point in your career, how many records have you got under your belt?
Yeah, I've done 11 CDs on my own. I'm just finishing up work on the 12th. They'll be out in January.
That's coming out on Red House Records?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how much work goes into making a John Gorka record, you know, from your first lyric or note to when you're ready to send it out into the world?
The record-making process seems to be a little bit different every time. Generally, a lot of work goes into the writing. Some songs can take months or years to finally get done. Other times they come quickly. This particular project I've been working on a little bit at a time for just about a year now. So I never really did that before, or it's been a really long time since I did it. My first one I probably did a little bit at a time as well, but it's been a long time. So I've been trying to figure out, try to get a good performance with my vocal and guitar and have any other instrumentation be built around that. Because often when I play with other people, it'll change what I do. And sometimes that's a good thing and sometimes not. That's not so good. So this one I wanted to be like what people would hear if they came to see me play solo. Most of the shows I do are just me and the guitar.
Do you enjoy the recording process, or do you just consider that part of what it takes for you to make a living playing music?
You know, of the writing, performing part of what I do, it's the area that I spend the least amount of time. And so it's taken me a while to enjoy the process, but now I enjoy it a lot. I have a home set up where I can record, and also I work with a professional studio in Minneapolis. So I can bring things back and forth. I can try things at home that I wouldn't try anywhere else, you know, where anybody else was looking. I can try parts on instruments I have no business playing and just generally have fun. So I do enjoy the process of making records. Once I get this one done, I'll start working on the next one. And I'm sure that next project will be different from the approach of this one.
Now, after playing guitar and being very good at the guitar for years, what does it feel like to pick up instruments you're less familiar with, or you don't know how to play necessarily?
Oh, it's fun. Like I said, nobody has to hear it if it's no good. But I will try percussion parts. I will try a bass part. I don't do any horns or any wind instruments, so I don't venture too far from what I do, guitar and a little keyboard and banjo.
What are some of the record labels that you feel have been integral in giving folk musicians the means of getting their music in the public's ears and have allowed folk musicians to be able to make a living from their craft?
Okay, yeah, there's a, in the 60s, Vanguard was a great label as well. As I was getting into this, the two main labels were Flying Fish and Rounder. So a lot of the people I would see at my home club in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, Godfrey Daniels, a lot of those people who came through there who made records would be on those labels. So Flying Fish and Rounder. Flying Fish no longer exists since Bruce Kaplan died and it was absorbed by Rounder. And then when I was getting around to finishing my first record, I started hearing about guy Bob Feldman, who started Red House Records. And when I talked to him, he was so enthusiastic, I didn't even bother sending the first one to anybody else when it was done. So Red House has been a great label for acoustic singer-songwriters, even now that Bob is no longer with us. So I think other ones would probably be Compass. I think it's Compass Records out of Nashville, which puts out some very good acoustic singer-songwriters. There's probably other ones as well. I'm just not aware of them.
In your experience, is it more of a labor of love for the people running it, or is it a money-making venture as well, or is it more they love that type of music and they?
I think the world, and definitely the people who put on the music in a lot of the towns across the country do it for the love of the music, and I think Red House started out for the love of the music, and I think they've kept that up. I know Bob Feldman turned down offers to sell the companies to larger companies. So I think if they can make a go of it, you know, that's a difficult business to be in, I think. I think they've been able to be smart about how they did business so that they can keep putting out good music. And I think that's where their focus is.
Red House has been around for pretty much 30 years at this point.
Yeah.
That's a feat, you know, more than it seems like, probably. How does a record label that offers folk and other roots music stay viable for 30 years? In your observation, what have you observed about their practices?
I think they're pretty careful about the people that they bring in terms of the recording artists, and also the people who work at Red House. They're almost all musicians themselves. You know, there's a real shared vision of putting out good music. I think they work with people who play a lot of shows, who tour extensively, and that helps keep them in the business, as well as the new downloadable world of iTunes and Amazon. And since there's no record stores anymore, I think they rely a lot on those and sales at shows from their artists.
Yeah, the changing landscape of media and how people use music has certainly been a challenge, I'm sure, for them and other labels. For your own music, have there phases? How would you break down your, I don't know if you want to call it progression or just evolution or just the way you've changed over the years and in the way that you've approached music?
I guess over time the perspective changes as I get older and I'm a dad and I have to, instead of thinking weeks at a time, I have to think about decades. So that's changed over time. I still enjoy playing as much, or if not more, than I ever did. And I enjoy doing the shows and traveling. For the most part, when all the travel gods are merciful.
Touring in the winter, I imagine, it can be.
Yeah.
So yeah, when you're going across multiple states, you're bound to run into weather, I would imagine.
Yeah.
shoulder. Then he said goodbye. Watched him move away through the arm of the other guy. Nothing more to have, nothing more to hold. No one there to rescue. A lonely chase and a trail gone cold. Trail gone cold. Trail gone cold. Doors that you walk through that only swing one way, and once you cross the threshold, there's nothing words can say. Words can't say. You can't go home again, can't outrun the past. Future is water in your hands, not a polished piece of glass, piece of glass. They got along like dogs and thunder. He thought her gone would put him under. Bitterness and wonder. Bitterness and wonder. He drove to a cabin, skipped stones on a lake, so no one would hear the sounds that his heart would make. His heart would make. His heart would make. So he fortified his system, waiting for the pain to hit. But he kept on waiting, because it never did. It never did hit. It never did hit. Sandwich and ate a plate of beans. Then he put his head down and he dreamed and dreamed. He dreamed a dream, a flying dream.
From Old Futures Gone, a release from John Gorka there. That's Dogs and Thunder. That's a Red House Records release. And right now, here is more of that conversation with John Gorka and I. Folk music had some very visible, impactful areas as a genre. and I guess what I would have to call recent history, just so we can separate that from the, you know, the very long ethnic traditions and folk that go back hundreds and thousands of years. But, you know, can you help me out here? Would the 1950s or 60s be what you might call the modern era of folk when it started, or would it be earlier than that?
I guess maybe the time where people mainly learned songs from oral tradition, you know, people played around and played music for their own entertainment before there was any kind of recorded music, so people made their own music, and some of that was more along the popular songs of the day that went around with sheet music, and then there was the ones that people just sat around and played and learned from older singers. I don't know if what I do is folk music or not. I don't mind being called a folk singer, but I don't generally do songs that are ballads that are hundreds of years old. But I don't mind being in that tradition of, I guess, the traveling troubadour. I guess probably the modern era probably would, I guess probably Bob Dylan would be a pivotal kind of figure there, where probably closer to his model of singer-songwriter rather than a, you know, folk singer who did traditional music. And, you know, it's changed over time. In the 60s, it was there was a kind of a commercial boom, and then when that passed, it kind of went underground. You know, people have emerged from time to time, Tracy Chapman or Nancy Griffith or Suzanne Vega, people who have emerged to more mainstream audiences. But I think the music itself is generally stayed underground, and it's not a bad thing. There's a lot of really good younger people doing it, so I feel like the music is going to be fine for a long, long time.
Yeah, you know, through the eras of higher visibility, like you mentioned, or the leaner eras when it was more underground, it's always had its fans and supporters as a genre or area of music.
Right.
Few could speculate why would folk music, no matter how lean times may get, it seems more likely to survive than other genres and just continue on, at least to have enough fans and supporters to keep it there.
Yeah, I think it touches people's lives in a more personal way than music that's made for, you know, kind of designed to reach massive audiences. I guess my friend Jack Hardy had a definition of folk music as being a kind of music where the song is more important than the singer. So I think it's that connection, making the connection to the audience, and that the artist is not that different from the audience. There's not a great distance in terms of physical space, and often in playing in intimate venues. That, and I think often the audience, the performer looks like the audience. They don't have to be an idealized form of a human being in order to be to make music.
Yeah, that's a really insightful analysis. In terms of the road for you, you know, have you slowed down to make it more enjoyable? Did you have a point where you were squeezing as many dates in as was physically possible?
Yeah, I think getting married and especially starting a family, I don't go out for long periods of time like I did before. So that's a big change. I don't tour in a very efficient manner, you know, but I can be out enough and home enough to keep things going on both sides. You know, I try to be home enough so that I don't become dispensable at home, because if you're away enough, you will become dispensable. So I try to be as home as much as I can, as also as playing as much as I can and keeping in touch with the audience.
Folk musicians in the folk genre anyway, or the, I guess, roots, but especially folk, unlike some other genres of music or even poets, for that matter, are imagined or expected by the public to be the salt of the earth as a person. Kind, balanced, wise, humble, generous. I could go on with that list.
Yeah,
why do you think that expectation exists?
Well, I think you try to put your best foot forward. I wish I was all those things, but I guess I try to put my best work out there and then try to find people who would like that. Dave Van Ronk called folk music a permanent minority music. So that's my approach. I probably won't ever have it made, but I'm going to try to find every last listener who might like this kind of music.
And lesser poverties. I was born to privilege that I did not see. Like a pigment in my skin, one of free and easy. I didn't know it, but my way was paid. I grew up a Catholic boy in a northeastern state, a place when asked where you from, some people tend to hesitate, reply a little bit late, as if maybe you didn't rate. I was born to ignorance and privilege. My dad ran a printing press, a tag and label factory. May have seen it as a child, now a distant memory, almost too faint to see. Dark red brick factory, didn't know it, but my way was paved. We moved from a city street shortly after I arrived to a house on a gravel road where I learned to be alive. Crawl, walk, run, and ride, that's where I learned to come alive. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. If the wind is at your back and you never turn around, you may never know the wind is there. You may never hear those. Got to grow and go to school, work at home and dream at night, even be a college fool like I had any right. Never went through a war, never Great Depression poor. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. Nose to the grindstone, shoulder to the wheel, back against the wall, maybe you know how it feels. If the wind is at your back and you never turn around, you may never know the wind is there. You may never hear the sound. Oh, I was born to ignorance, yes, and lesser poverties. I was born to privilege that I did not see, like a pigment in my skin, one of free and easy. Didn't know it, but my way was paved. Cause I was born to ignorance and privilege.
Ignorance and Privilege from John Gorka. So Dark You See is one of his more recent records, and that's what that came from. Well, we got one more short segment of this interview left. Sometimes when somebody has the kind of career that John Gorka has, there's just more to get in. Right now, we're going to hear another segment of that interview on Center Stage, Minnesota. Does it tend to be that way, or when you, from inside circles, I don't expect you to name any names, but, you know, if you remove Bob Dylan, who can be kind of curmudgeonly? Are there other brilliant folk musicians who are also kind of curmudgeonly or maybe just a jerk? So
I imagine there's some who would probably fit that bill. I generally don't hang around such people, but there are also people who are, you know, for every one of those, there's probably, you know, 10 who are better than you'd hope them to be. I think John Prine is one of those people who, to meet him is, not only is he a master at what he does, but he's also a great human being to be around. Michael Johnson, I would say, is also in that category. Just not only a great artist, but a great person to know. So I'm looking forward to doing a couple of shows with him in Minnesota. So I think that's probably my favorite thing about doing this is the people I've gotten to meet and the people I've gotten to work with, and that makes it fun, and I feel like I can keep on learning.
Now, you were born in New Jersey, and did you leave there after high school, or?
Yeah, to go to college, I went to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I stayed in that area mainly because of a place called Godfrey Daniels Coffee House on the south side of Bethlehem. And I lived in that area for almost 20 years before moving to Minnesota in 1997.
Moving to Minnesota, was that, what went into that decision? Was it just because that's where your label was, or did you?
Oh, no, I met my wife through Bob Feldman from Red House, and she was from Minnesota. So that was moved for reasons of love.
Who else impresses you today, nationally or in Minnesota, either that's on Red House roster with you, or, I mean, just if you had to name one or two names where they've made you...
There's a couple I can come up right off the bat. They're not on Red House, but I think they're great great artists. Antje Duvekot, and I can spell you that name, A-N-T-J-E, and Duvekot is D-U-V-E-K-O-T. She's originally from Germany, and she's a great singer and songwriter. One of my favorites. She sings on one song on my upcoming CD. And Anais Mitchell is another one of those my favorites. Just a very, very talented young singer and songwriter. And from Claudia Schmidt is living in Minnesota again. She's one of my all-time favorites. So those are just a few.
Okay, well, I'd like to thank you for coming on and being on with us here on Northern Community Radio. And
you're welcome.
It's always an honor to talk to somebody who has, I want to say been in the trenches, but that's probably not the right way to say it. Has just been working as you have for as long as you have, and just continues to put out great music. So thanks a lot for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for doing this. And I'm grateful to be able to play music for a living. It's I'm very thankful to be able to have done this for that long a time and to be able to keep on doing it. It's still fun, if not more fun than ever.
Got just enough sun to light my way, just enough cloud to give me shade over my slowdown parade. One man band at the barricade, one last stand of make-believe, one good memory I can retrieve, one more devil that I will deceive, one less reason that I'd rather leave. Unblindfold the referee, don't ask the wind what became of me. Attempt to stray from the pedigree, left off my sentence in Tennessee. Need more strength so I'm not afraid, need a scale legal for trade, a length of rope with a tighter braid, enough of a crowd so I still get paid. Tailored suit that won't go to trial, bring your regrets, put them on the pile. Trust these mountains to be here a while, lend me your shoes, I'll walk a mile.
excitement I wasn't named. Though you know I'll get the blame. I lost the ticket that wasn't claimed. I'm still here and I'm not ashamed. Over here, over here, my eyes are shot, but my vision's clear. Just enough sun to light my way, just enough cloud to give me shade. Over my slow down parade, one man band at the barricade, one man band at the barricade.
Unblindfold the Referee, Writing in the Margins is the name of that release. That's a 2006 Red House Records release from John Gorka. And my thanks again to John Gorka for joining us on Center Stage Minnesota. I'd like to have Jello Slave take us out today with a track off of their Purple Orange release from 2010. This is A Handful of Earth. Thank you.